listening to Old New Borrowed Blue on 2SER with your host, Joel Kassam.
Hello and welcome to Old New Borrowed Blue here on 2SER, on 2SER.com and on your iTunes. I'm Joel Kassam. Thank you very much for tuning in. And let me apologize in advance for how disgustingly sick my voice sounds today. Old New Borrowed Blue is a show where a special guest joins me in the studio and plays four songs of their choosing. And they discuss why they picked those tracks. Let's find out who we've got this week. My guest today is an actor, singer, dancer, writer, teacher, and voiceover artist. Having started singing at the age of 7 and being involved in her first musical at 14, over a decade later, she still hasn't stopped. Currently starring in the sellout chamber pot opera at the QVB, and right before she jets off to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, I'm very lucky to be joined by Britt Lewis. Hello, Britt.
Hello, how are you going?
Very well. Thanks for coming in.
Oh, thanks for having me.
You've obviously been very busy with this show.
Yeah, it's been really great. So we have 10 shows a week, 5 nights a week, out at the QVB in the ladies' powder room there, and it's been really, really awesome. It's a great group of people, so it's been really fun.
All right, let's talk about the chamber pot opera to start off with. It's very unique. It's very different. As you were just saying off air, I didn't even know it went for 35 minutes. It goes for 35 minutes.
Yeah, around that. Yeah, 35, 40 minutes. Yeah.
What else can you tell us about it?
Well, so it's a very short show. It's a kind of a pastiche opera. So it's all the kind of really famous arias from operas that you probably know, that you would have heard the tunes of on ads or in operas or whatever. Most people would have heard them. So we've kind of cherry-picked them. And it's three women are in the show, and it's in the ladies' powder room at the QVB. And the idea came from the director, Clements Williams, who studied at the Con. And she found that there were just really, really limiting roles for women. And she just didn't, you know, she really hated the fact that really all that she could play were three roles, and they were the witches' roles, the bitches' roles, and the britches' roles. So she sort of took those roles and subverted them and created this show, and we're performing in it now, in the bathroom.
Yeah, so it's literally in a bathroom. Like, this isn't a joke.
Yeah.
And I think you can only fit about 26 people in at a time, is that right?
Yeah, we squish 30 in, like sometimes behind the piano or like near the sinks and stuff. And yeah, we try and pack it in a bit. But generally there's 26 standing and sitting seats and standing room. And then we sort of squish a couple more in, and that's kind of all we can
fit. How do you fit a stage? Where does the stage go?
Well, the stage is the bathroom. It's like there's a little kind of couch in the middle, and then there's the three stalls and the three mirrors, and we just sort of work around that. So yeah, there's no real backstage, there's no off stage. It's all just kind of happens right there.
Yeah, exactly. There's no, you can't walk on and off. How do you walk on and off? How do you start?
Well, we start like just in a little alcovey kind of area, and we get all the audience in there, and then it just sort of starts. And we've got lights and you know, we have like projections of the lyrics, because a lot of the songs are in Italian or French. So there isn't really an off stage, but we do start just in this little alcove, and then we come in and we go into the cubicles and stuff, and we use that area. But it's mainly all the action happens right there, and the audience is kind of like, you know, like at most 3 feet away from us, so it's really intimate. Yeah,
opera is done with really big voices.
Yeah,
how does that work in a small room, especially a bathroom, which is just, you know, all about the acoustics because of all the tiles and whatnot?
Yeah, for sure.
How does that work?
Well, we're really lucky with this space. Like, first of all, it looks amazing, but any bathroom is incredible. Like, people sing in the shower all the time because it sounds so good and it makes it sound amazing. Yeah. So, like, a lot of us have said now that, like, in our contracts, we only ever sing in bathrooms. Like, that's it now. We're not going back to theatre, because it just sounds great. And, like, we've gotten used to that, the reverberation, and it's really, really beautiful. And the shape of the bathroom's got these sort of, like, high ceilings, and it goes up a bit inside the cubicles, and we sing in there sometimes. And, yeah, so it sounds really, really lovely. But we also kind of joke that because opera is so huge, and because you're singing with such big voices, and especially one of our cast members, Jessica Westcott, studied at the Con, she's really had to bring her voice down to fit the space of the bathroom. Otherwise, it would just, you know, she's singing at kind of, you know, 70-80% rather than the kind of full 100 like she normally would, because, yeah, it's so much. And it's, I mean, like, we joke that it's kind of the highest art form in the lowest space in a way as well, which is kind of great.
You must get some really strange looks from people.
Yeah.
I mean, especially people wanting to use the bathroom.
Absolutely.
Or, I mean, how does that work?
Yeah, we definitely, like, especially when we're setting up, we get some weird reactions from people who are like, can I use the bathroom? And we're saying, sorry, we're doing an opera in here tonight. And, they, like, the reactions range from kind of disbelief to kind of anger as well, because like a lot of, especially with that bathroom at the QVB, I don't know if people know that bathroom. I didn't. I'm from Melbourne originally, but it's really is like people know it and they go to the QVB and they use that bathroom because it's so big and so beautiful. And like we've gone in there to set up before and there've been people like hanging around on the ottomans, taking photos and like putting on makeup, getting ready to go out, having a chat, like all the stuff that we do in the show, people do in real life. It's been amazing to kind of see that. And people are often just like, what do you mean we can't use it? This, you know, this is my space. This is, I should have access to it. What are you doing an opera in there? Like it's really interesting to see those reactions.
Would be.
Yeah, it's
what cool. about when people have to go in for the show? Is there like a little ticket booth out the front? How does that work? Is there a table?
Yeah, we've got a little like ticket table set up. People have usually booked online or whatever. Sometimes they just rock up, but we've sold out for this season now just because the audience is, you know, so small. But yeah, we've got a little kind of area set up there and we've got it all roped off. And then when we go in, the door's sort of shut and, you know, people can't get in. But often we do, you know, when we're waiting to go on, we'll see people come up and whoever's on the, you know, on the door outside, the producer or whoever will say, I'm so sorry, it's shut at the moment, you can't go in. And it's really interesting to still see those reactions as the show's going on behind us. Yeah.
Unbelievable. When did the show start?
It started last November. So we had like a week-long season at the QVB then. That sold out as well. And then we took it to Adelaide in sort of Feb, March of this year. And then, now we're back for 2 months at the QVB. Yeah, so it's been the longest run now. I think we're all sort of worried that, I think overall we've done about 70 shows over the last 2 months. So it'll be the last two tonight. And it's been, we thought it would be a lot more difficult than it was, I think.
Oh, that's good.
It's
good.
Kind of, we've kept it fresh somehow.
What about your character? Who are you playing?
My character, I'm playing the sort of the pants role, the britches role. So we've subverted that and we've made that so that I'm playing a queer woman who's just been on a date. So I come in and I'm really, really frantic because I think I've come on too strong and I'm really in love with this woman that I've just taken out of this date. And then I come in and then I run into someone else in there and, you know, we're all strangers, the three women in this bathroom, but, you know, I kind of ask for advice from her and I get her to try and write a text to this woman that I've been on this date with, and it's all really anxious. And then we meet the third woman in there who's you know, a victim of domestic abuse, and all our stories kind of intertwine. And yeah, that's sort of what happens. But that's my role. Yeah.
Okay. Is the show, is it considered a comedy somewhat?
I'm probably the comedic element of
it.
Yeah. Okay. But I think overall it's more, I think what I have kind of taken away from it is that it's three women in this space that's sort of just for women. And traditionally in opera, any problem that a woman has is solved by a man sweeping in and saving her. You know, the tenor comes in and helps her, or someone kills her, or, you know, something like that. Everything happens to her. It's a really passive role that women play traditionally in opera. And so in ours, we've changed that and we've made it so that these three women solve their own problems.
Yeah.
Or if they don't solve them, they at least talk about them with each other and they come to some kind of conclusion, even if it's just in the short term. And then they all leave again and potentially we'll never see each other again. It's just that one little kind of 35-minute interaction,
it's
in the
crazy
bathroom.
Mm. 35 minutes is... Your date would be a bit worried, I think. If you were gone for 35 minutes.
Well, I think she's gone. I came on too strong and she freaked out and left.
Off.
Yeah, so she's taken off and I'm just, what the hell do I do? And I'm trying to text her and I'm sending her all these messages and then she's calling and I'm freaking out. And so that's kind of what's happening. But it would be if you were gone, if you were in the bathroom. And that's kind of the thing as well. I think if it was any longer than 35 minutes, people would start to think you wouldn't spend that long in a public bathroom.
Yeah.
So I think it's probably the right amount of time.
You're not George Michael. How did you get into doing this show? When
I knew the director, Clemmie Williams. I'd done a show with her a couple of years ago when I was still living in Melbourne. We did like a combined, it was sort of like a Attempts on Her Life was what the show was called. And I was part of the cast, the Melbourne cast, and then she directed the Sydney cast. And we did a few shows in Melbourne and a few in Sydney. And we sort of came together at the last minute and rehearsed these scenes together in this show. So I knew her from that. And I knew that she'd studied at the Con. And that she was really interested in singing and music as well. And then she studied directing at NIDA and then I studied music theatre at NIDA and we sort of, we always stayed really close friends. And I think, when she mentioned that she was doing it, it really piqued my interest. It sounded like an incredible kind of project that she was working on. Yeah.
That's so cool. I actually do want to get into your other projects and whatnot, and we will do that soon. But I just wanted to ask the name, Chamber Pot Opera. What is it?
Well, it's sort of a play on like chamber opera, which is like a traditional form of opera, and then a chamber pot, I suppose, which is like an old toilet.
Yeah, right.
So that's kind of it. Yeah,
that's
simply
where it
put.
Works. Okay, let's get into your first song, your old song. What have you chosen for us?
I've chosen a Kath Bloom song called "Love Me," mm-hmm. which that song actually is, I think, quite recent. I think it's quite a, I think it was released not that long ago. But I got into Kath Bloom and some of her older music when I saw a movie Before Sunrise. And there was this scene in it that had this incredible song, and I just like fell in love with it. It was just this beautiful scene. The chemistry between the two actors was amazing, and I just loved the way that they, a lot of their scenes were improvised, and I loved that kind of acting. And yeah, I just really loved it. So I got into Kath Bloom then, and yeah, I thought it might be a good song to play.
Fantastic choice. Mm-hmm. All right, here's Love Me by Kath Bloom.
I've seen lots of lonely places, and I've seen lots of rabbit faces. Those who dominate all races are the scourge of mankind. Guess that may be true, maybe so. A perfect world would be so splendid.
Love Me by Kath Bloom, chosen by my guest today, Britt Lewis. Now, as a singer who obviously uses her voice for her art and her work, what happens when you do get sick?
Oh, it depends how sick you are, I suppose. We were just talking about before. One of our cast members in Chamber Pot Opera has been quite sick recently, or a few weeks ago anyway. And it's been really hard because these roles are, you know, we don't have understudies or anything. It's a very small show. And so there have been a couple of shows that we did have to cancel. And she sort of a combo of losing her voice and feeling very sick. And it was really, really hard for her. And I know in the past, I actually, the first show that I did when I was in Greece, I lost my voice before, like a week before opening night. And I was like, you know, 14. I was freaking out. It's the first thing I'd done. And I just didn't really know how to use my voice without damaging it. And my dad, who's a doctor, like had me on all this stuff, like all these like inhaling steroids and all this weird stuff and Disprin and gargling and stuff. But it just wasn't better by preview night. And so my mom actually sang in the wings for me because our voices are quite similar. So it was really, really weird. I was like on stage miming and like doing all the actions and stuff, and she was in the wings singing. So I guess that's one solution. Get your mom to sing for you. Yeah, yeah.
She can do it for me as well. Yeah. It sounded a little bit funny. But what got you into musical theatre?
I'd always loved singing. But I kind of weirdly had never really enjoyed performing. Like, I loved singing by myself and, like, you know, making up songs and stuff. I'd come from a family that my brother played piano. Both my brothers played piano. It was quite a sort of musical family. And I always loved acting as well. And I think I guess I just sort of wanted to combine those two things. I was really, really lucky where I grew up in country Victoria and Gippsland. There were just a lot of theatre companies around there, Leongatha and Wonthaggi and Warrigal. And they all had really great theatres and an amazing community of people that love to come together and put these shows on, like actors and people who wanted to direct and amazing costume, you know, people. And it was amazing. I was so, so lucky to grow up in that area, I think, because that really, I had a lot of friends who were into it as well. So I think if it weren't for that, I probably wouldn't have done it. They do some really classic shows when I was there. So I think I was really lucky with the shows that were on when I was growing up.
Yeah. Mm. Well, you mentioned Greece. What other shows have you been in?
I was in Les Mis. I was Eponine in Les Mis. I've been in Seussical, and I did Cabaret and West Side Story and all the ones like that, I suppose, that communities like that know and that they really love, and all the really popular ones they kind of put on. Yeah. So yeah. Stuff like that. And then, yeah, when I moved up to Melbourne, it's in Next to Normal and Title of Show and Aspects of Love and some older ones like that as well. But yeah, I've been really fortunate. I think that there've just been some great companies and great shows that have been put on and that I've been able to be a part of them. Yeah. So that's been awesome.
Have you got a favorite role? Is there like something you love to play?
Oh, probably, Sally Bowles in Cabaret.
Okay.
Was great. Yeah, it's a real gritty kind of role. It's kind of dark and it's such a glitzy show. I think that's what's so great about it. There's this contrast between like these amazing sequin costumes and everything's so showy, but there's this really dark, you know, it's just before World War II is breaking out and there's this really dark kind of undercurrent running through it, and it's really interesting. Yeah, I think that makes it a great show.
And what about a show you haven't done but you would like, I have to do this?
I would love to do it. There's a new musical called Fun Home, a contemporary musical, and there's some amazing roles for women in that show. Incredible roles. And I'm waiting for it to come to Australia. I don't know when it will, but I would love to audition for it. I think it'd be great. Yeah, really interesting musical.
All right. You mentioned earlier you've actually done quite a bit of studying.
Yeah.
What have you done so far?
So when I finished school, I went to Melbourne Uni. I did a Bachelor of Arts in Creative Writing and Linguistics at Melbourne Uni. And a diploma of languages with French, because I'd always sort of done that at school and gone on exchange and stuff. So I really liked French and languages and writing and stuff. And I think I always kind of had music theatre as this thing that I really loved but was too scared to do. And, you know, as a lot of people do, I think. And, you know, my parents were like, oh, you need to get a career and just keep doing that on the side, you know, as a lot of parents do. I studied at Melbourne Uni, and that was ended up being a 4-year course because I did the diploma as well. But I always had a show on the go in some way. Either at Melbourne Uni or just in local companies. After that, I'd heard about this music theatre course at NIDA, and I thought, well, I'll just give that a go because I haven't stopped loving it really. I was waiting for something else to pop up and for me to love something as much as music theatre, and it kind of never did. So I auditioned for that and I got into that and did that last year. Yeah, and then graduated from that. That was just a 1-year course. And then that's when I met Sally, and I kept seeing Clemmie Williams as well, who was a part of Chamber Pot Opera. And so I kind of just went from there and have always just really, really love doing it. And now I just keep doing it whenever I can. Yeah.
And you won some awards as well. Am I right in saying that?
Some awards from sort of in Victoria, Victorian theatre and amateur theatre and stuff down there, and Melbourne Uni awards and stuff around there for various shows. Yeah, it's kind of, they're a weird thing, awards. I don't know, they're great. Like, it's so amazing to be a part of a community that have award ceremonies like that, and to, you know, to be kind of given the honour of getting one of those as well. But it's often just, you know, I think I actually being on stage is just the best thing about it. Yeah. I think like everything else around it is just incidental. But yeah, I think that's the best thing.
That's awesome. Yeah. You grew up in Victoria.
Yeah.
And you're obviously doing these shows now in Sydney. Where do you find you're performing more, down there or up here in Sydney?
It's interesting. I think like most people would say that Melbourne and Sydney are probably the two main ones in Australia at the moment, but Brisbane's also kind of up and coming as well.
Okay.
I think in Melbourne, there's a lot, because there are just more spaces to perform, there's a lot more like tiers of kind of indie theatre. So there's, you know, amateur and there's professional and there's just like a million different levels in between. Whereas in Sydney, I don't know, maybe there's less theatres for that. There's less space for that. So there's really high end and then there's amateur. And then in between, there aren't as many. So it depends what you're kind of going for. I think Melbourne's probably a better place for me just because there's more room to move. There's more of those smaller indie kind of shows like Chamber Pot Opera. Whereas in Sydney, it's really just if you want to be on the main stage in big shows, then that's probably the city for you, I think. But yeah, I mean, everyone has kind of different opinions on it.
Okay.
So yeah, but I reckon Melbourne is probably,
Melbourne.
Yeah, that's kind of where my heart is, I think.
Cool. And you mentioned your family a bit before. They're musicians, but your dad's a doctor.
Yeah, my family, so they always were really into music. But I think like they're very like logical, very pragmatic kind of people. So my older brother and my younger brother as well, I think he's only in year 9, but I reckon he'll probably end up being a doctor as well. So older brother's a doctor, younger one probably will be. My dad's a doctor. Mum worked as a Hansard reporter at State Parliament in Melbourne. And I think, yeah, they're so supportive and they'll love me, whatever I did.
Yeah.
But I think it's always been, I've definitely been the kind of black sheep and the outlier of the family for doing what I want to do and for sort of keeping on doing it, even though, you know, it's often hard to find work or, you know, I don't know where I'm going to live and all that kind of stuff. And I'm so lucky that they, you know, it's hard because they're not as into theatre as I am, but I'm so lucky that they'll support me whatever I do.
That's really cool.
Really lucky, yeah.
Let's move on to your new song now. What have you gone with today?
For the new song, it's a Natalie Holmes song. This is actually super new for me. I only came across her a couple of days ago.
Oh.
But I was looking for when we're going to Edinburgh Fringe for Chamber Pot Opera. I'm going to be in London for a couple of days and she's doing a gig there. And I just came across her and I was like, oh, this is really close to the hostel I'm staying at. I should have a look and see who this person is. And this song is really, really awesome. I'm really keen to, yeah.
Yeah, that's exciting for you.
Yeah, it's awesome.
This is Calm Places by Natalie Holmes.
It's been a long time coming and far more loving than I was the other day. I've had to let the dust build up. This wasn't how I pictured the change to happen. I blamed everything. Now I'm figuring it out. It's been a long time coming.
Long time coming.
control of my body. I never saw the poison ivy grow. Pull up the roots and make it let go. I'm a slave to my body, but I keep it alive. If only that care was taken with my mind.
Calm Places there by Natalie Holmes. I can still hear the drums playing in the background. So I'm currently joined by Britt Lewis, who is part of the Chamber Pot Opera, currently showing at the QVB building in Sydney. Now, what kind of music are you listening to when you're not doing musical theatre?
Oh, it's kind of, I don't know, an eclectic sort of mix, I guess. When I'm in a show, I'm often listening to that soundtrack to just learn it, basically. And so that's often been where my head's been for the past few years. But I suppose, I mean, I really love Kate Miller-Heidke. I think also because she has a bit of a music theatre influence as well. So, like, the storytelling thing's really there. But I love, lyrics, amazing lyrics, stuff that's got, like, a bit of a narrative to it. I'm really into the Beatles and the Stones just because of my dad. I kind of grew up on that. And ABBA as well. That was kind of mum's thing. So those were two big influences. And then really kind of acoustic-y, folky stuff. I love Damien Rice. Stuff that's a bit sad. I think I'm a bit of a cliche when it comes to stuff like that. I kind of like to have a little cry and listen to, you know, some Damien Rice. But yeah, I guess a really kind of eclectic mix. There's not really any style I reckon that I would kind of stick to. Yeah.
That's the way it should be, I think. And now what about in your downtime? What are you doing? Because I know you were saying you work constantly. So
yeah,
if you ever find time, what are you doing?
Reading probably, or I really love when we go to Edinburgh, I'm going to be doing a couple of hikes with some friends over there. I think that's really great, especially when you do a lot of theatre. I really like to not be doing it sometimes and to just not be thinking about it at all, because it can get a bit self-focused and you can get quite narcissistic about it, I think, because you kind of have to. It's part of the job description that you need to be thinking about yourself all the time and the way that you look and act, obviously, and the way that you sound. And in order to be able to get jobs and to go for auditions and stuff, you've got to be self-analyzing all the time. And it's I find it, I really, really need to switch off from that. Otherwise, it can get a bit much. So I think hiking and camping and stuff is great because there's no mirrors anywhere. So you're not looking at yourself and you often you can't use your phone. So you're not checking any of that stuff and you just really, really switch off. So sort of, and where I grew up in country Victoria, we're near Wilson's Prom, which is a really beautiful national park down there. And there's some amazing walks and hikes and stuff. Down there. So I love to do that. And I'm really excited about going overseas and doing some hikes over there as well, camping. And yeah, it's going to be really nice. So that kind of thing, I suppose. Yeah.
Oh, very exciting. You also do a bit of teaching as well.
Yeah.
Do you have a goal with that? Do you want to teach later on in life or?
Yeah, I think so. Growing up in sort of regional Victoria, it's especially in maybe not so much where I was, because I was just really lucky that there were some amazing schools and theatre companies and stuff where I grew up. But so often, I think kids there just don't know that theatre and drama and singing and music is an option, because it's either footy or netball, and that's kind of the two things that you do when you're down there. But I'd love to either open up some kind of school in remote and regional areas or teach somewhere around there singing and music and stuff and theatre, because I think it kind of flips the whole narcissistic thing around and it becomes an empathetic thing instead. It becomes, you know, if you're learning about stuff through theatre, then you're literally putting yourself in someone else's shoes. You're wearing another costume and you're pretending to be someone else. I think there's something there. I think there's some important lesson that I think people can learn and take away from that, and from using drama and theatre as a way to learn and communicate with people, I think is really important.
That's really cool. Mm-hmm. We'll move on to your borrowed song now. Yep. What have you picked for us today?
I've chosen "I Want to Hold Your Hand" by the Beatles, because and I feel like I'm kind of borrowing this from my dad, and because he works a lot, he's a country GP, and often if he ever, on the odd occasion that we'd have a day off, I'd always wake up to this song or something similar. And so this just makes me think of, like, and he would have, like, lit the fire and he'd be cooking pancakes and he'd be so happy and this song would be playing, and it just, like, brings back all these great memories. So yeah, this is I Want to Hold Your Hand by the Beatles.
Oh yeah, I tell you something, I think you'll understand. When I say that something, I want to hold your hand. I want to hold your hand. I want to hold your hand. Oh please, say to me, let me be your man. Inside, it's such a feeling that my love, I can hide. Yeah, you got that something, I think you'll understand. When I say that something, I wanna hold your hand. Happy inside, it's such a feeling that my love, I can hide. Yeah, you got that something, I think you understand. When I feel that something, I wanna hold your hand.
Unmistakable, I Want to Hold Your Hand by the Beatles. Is there a lot of work for singers?
It depends what you're willing to do, I suppose.
Yeah.
The sort of stuff that I want to do, there's probably less work and less money in it as well. It's something that's, I think, a bit difficult. I know a lot of people, and they're, you know, incredible performers and much harder workers than I am, I think. And they're, you know, doing shows on main stages and, you know, in the ensemble or leads. And even I think when you get to that point, you are working there for a certain amount of time and then you're not, and you just, it's hard to find that consistency. I think for me, it's a bit of a security blanket to have teaching and to have something that I, you know, want to do later and that I can do now that's quite consistent and that I have some control over, because it often feels like you don't have a lot of control, I think, with singing and performing in general as a career choice. And I think unless you really, really want it and that's all you want, it's hard to, you know, make it whatever making it is. Yeah. So, yeah, I think, like, I'd be happy, I think, to do stuff like Chamberpot forever, like little indie shows that are just with great people and really creative and kind of give you some freedom to have a bit of control over your role and what you're doing and to have some input into the show, and which is really important for me and makes me feel like I'm doing something that's a little bit more outside of myself than just, like, doing this role that you've been told to do. So if I could sort of do that for the rest of my life, I'd be super happy, and then, you know, just keep teaching and stuff, and yeah, I reckon that'd be great. But yeah, I mean, it depends. There's not a whole lot of work for performers. For singers, I don't know. I mean, it's like anything in the performance industry, it's just so up and down. You can never really, you never know what's going to turn up or if anything will. Yeah.
Do you play any other instruments or?
Yeah, a little bit of piano, and I play guitar. I've played guitar for a while. I had a really great teacher in Gippsland, Jenny Gray, who I used to teach with her at the start of this year. And so, yeah, that's kind of a bit of an escape as well, because that's quite different to music theatre. It's not as performative, it sometimes feels more truthful because you can do what you want. You can write the songs you want to write or play the stuff you want to play and in the way that you want to do it as well. So yeah. You have a bit more ownership over that as well. I think that's something that's important to me. I really love playing. I think that's a big part of my life, yeah.
What about, would you ever sort of start writing and trying to get your own music out there? Is that a thing you would...
I don't know. I'd love to try. I think I'm too scared, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's this weird thing where I want to do stuff that's mine, but I feel this security of, the security of having someone give me a role and be like, this is what you're saying and what you're singing. And that's something that I guess is, I feel comfortable doing. So I don't know. It's interesting. I'm probably too afraid to try, to be honest. Yeah. I've never really shown anyone anything that I've written. So I'm not sure. Maybe one day.
I'm sure it'll be good. Tell us about some workshops you've done. I read something about Homeground Grassroots Festival.
Yeah, Homegrown in Melbourne at the VCA. Jess Newman is an amazing composer in Melbourne. He's actually in New York at the moment. He was shortlisted for this Sondheim program where he and four other people, I think, were shortlisted and got to play for Stephen Sondheim in New York, which is incredible. But he's an amazing composer, and I've done some stuff with him and for Homegrown, the Grassroots Festival at the VCA, and had workshops done there. And that's always really incredible to be a part of because it's new work, which I love. It's new Australian work, which there is quite a lot of, but you just sort of don't see it, and it's hard to get that stuff developed because there's not as much of an industry for new music, the Australian theatre in Australia, like there is in New York, for example, where people will just go and see a show like they'll see a movie or something, whereas here it's not so much like that. It's difficult because the culture's not there. It's strange in Australia. Yeah, so it's stuff like that's great because hopefully if people keep doing it, then it'll grow and we'll have more things to see and more people will want to see it. And,
yeah, definitely. So after Edinburgh, where will we see you next?
Oh, I don't know. Back in Sydney for a while, probably teaching, doing stuff like that. If other shows come up here, then I'll audition for them and see how that goes. I just don't know. You don't know what's going to sort of come up next. There might be more of a future for Chamber Pot Opera outside of Edinburgh. Mm-hmm. We're not really sure where yet, but there's a few kind of things on the boil. So you might see Chamber Pot Opera popping up somewhere in Australia again. I don't know, Brisbane, Hobart, something like that. I'm not sure. So it could be a bit of that. There's Bon Tom's doing some more shows as well. That's the company that's putting Chamber Pot Opera on. I don't know. It just, if any auditions come up, are we doing that? Are we doing a lot more teaching singing? And then just kind of doing my own thing, I guess.
Yeah.
And trying to fill my life with stuff that I love doing.
That's a great outlook. I love that. That's fantastic. I work a dead-end job and I hate it. So, you're like following your dreams. It's amazing.
Oh, God.
You're in Edinburgh next month for the Fringe Festival. Are there other shows there that you want to see?
Yeah, there are. We're seeing a whole lot. I can't even... There's like 4,000 shows, I think, throughout the month at like 300 venues or something. And so, like, that's really, really daunting for us because we're like, how the hell are we going to get audiences in this sea of brilliant theatre? We've already sold, I think, 40 tickets or something over there, which is unreal because we don't really know anyone there. So I think they must have just, it's a bit of a gimmick, I guess, to say, oh, it's on in a bathroom and it's an opera. We'll go see that kind of thing. So I think that we're lucky that we have that as a kind of a selling point. We've booked to see some shows over there. I can't even think of what they are off the top of my head. I think we booked to see about 10 or 11 over there already. And I think there's maybe some gigs and stuff that are there as well that I'd like to see. I'll just kind of go along with whatever anyone else wants. I have a feeling that the shows that we have there, I think, are on at 6:15 and 7:45. And then so we'll be out of there by, 9 p.m. and we can go and see all the weird stuff that happens late at night in the weird little venues down laneways and stuff. So that's what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah.
So just like wandering up and being like, oh, that looks kind of cool. Let's go in there. Yeah.
That's amazing. Britt Lewis, thank you so much for joining me today. Good luck for the show tonight. Good luck in Edinburgh, obviously. And I'm insanely jealous that you get to go over there. And
Come over.
Oh, God. I would love to. Can I, like, hop in your bag or something?
Oh, yeah, maybe. Okay? I'll squish you in, yeah.
Okay. We'll talk off air.
Yeah.
You've got to take us out with your blues song. What have you chosen?
Yeah. I've chosen Blower's Daughter by Damien Rice. It's a bit of a classic like breakup song. It's just always kind of been on my iPod when I've needed to have a little cry, and it's just beautiful. It's got some nice strings. It's got some acoustic guitar. It's got Damien Rice's voice. It's just, it's a bit of a classic, and it's always been my go-to.
All right, Britt, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
And yeah, he's Damien Rice.
Cheers, thanks.
And so it is just like you said it would be. Life goes easy on me most of the time. And so it is, the shorter story. No love, no glory. No hero in her sky. I can't take my eyes off of you. 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 I can't take my eyes. So it is, just like you said it should be. We'll both forget the breeze most of the time. And so it is. Take my eyes off you. I can't take my eyes off you. Can't take my eyes off you. I can't take my eyes. Take my mind off of you. I can't take my mind off of you. I can't take my mind off of you. I can't take my mind. My mind. My mind.
till I find somebody new.